Hey everyone, I know you've heard me speak about microdosing and how much I love it. And I'm talking about microdosing THC. I love it. And that's why I love our sponsor, microdose.com. Microdose gummies are incredible. They deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And when I mean just the right amount of good, I mean in so many situations. Anxiety, sleep, focus, pain, relaxation. There are so many different strains and they're really helpful. And I have recommended microdose.com to so many people. And you know what they say to me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Don't be afraid of microdosing. Go to microdose.com and you'll learn all about microdosing THC. These gummies feel amazing. They taste amazing. I have used them to get me into the zone I need to write. I've used them at night after a stressful day or a stressful show to relax. I have also said to family members, please take a gummy right now. And they've said, oh, good idea. So check it out. Check it out because they're fantastic. And I'm not like a big weed person. I mean, I used to be. And I do enjoy weed every now and then. But I love these gummies. And I take them with me everywhere. So check it out. Don't be afraid. They're all natural. They're fantastic. And you deserve it. So what are you going to do? You're going to do something that is fantastic. You're going to get 30% off your first order. 30% off. That's a lot. Plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Use promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD. It's available nationwide. They deliver it to your door. That is microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD for 30% off and free shipping. Do it. Go to microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD. You deserve it. You deserve it. And you know what else? You're welcome.
Well, I don't see the point in waiting any longer. So let's bring her out. The star attraction. The one you came to see. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ms. Judy Gold.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Kill Me Now. I just want to say a few things before we begin. First of all, I know we post video, and I just want everyone to know that I, on Cyber Monday, Jewish, bought a Logitech camera, and I bought new Bose headphones. I didn't go crazy, but I was like, you know what? I've always wanted these things. I buy all this shit for my kids. I never buy anything for myself. They have better headphones than I do. They fucking lose them. Fuck it. I need noise-canceling headphones. My neighbors are fucking loud, so I'm wearing new headphones. If you guys see any video clip, my new Bose 700, I got it on sale for Cyber Monday. And I got my new Logitech, and I'm a guy, and that's what makes me happy. Okay. So I'm just saying to all the trans people who are now pissed off at me, you know, I'm part guy, I'm fluid. And I have fluid coming out of me because I had a baby. Anyway, today's guest. Now, I know I don't always have. Would you be a millennial, Hannah?
I am.
Yeah. I don't always have millennials on because I'm old. And I feel like millennials have a lot of life experience. But I think our next guest does have a little more life experience than your average millennial. And plus, I like to hear people's stories. In her 28 years, which we were just talking before Hannah and I, that's her first name. That's my middle name. started recording. We were just talking and she said she likes my apartment, and I moved into this apartment before Hannah was even a fucking thought in her parents' head. 3 years before, probably 4 years before, because the mother had to be pregnant. And then I realized at the same time, I was a year younger than her when I moved into this apartment, maybe 2 years younger than her when I moved into this apartment. So I feel like I am talking to someone who is in the business like I am, but I'm talking to like a version of me when I was starting out. Our guest today has her own podcast, and it is called Don't Tell Mom, which I enjoy. She has done a lot of writing, and she's gotten into the business in a very not usual way. And she started this Snapchat show, which was a brilliant idea that I didn't think of because I fucking don't even know how to use Snapchat. And she has a Snapchat show, which they're 5 minutes long, right? These little...
Yeah, 5 minute episodes.
And called Get Money, about being a gig worker. And she was featured in Forbes Under 30 because she's under 30 and I'm over 30. Ladies and gentlemen,
and wow, thank you.
Banana, banana. So Hannah, how are you?
I'm great. I've been in my apartment alone for like 4 days, so I feel like a little crazy.
No, Hannah, I know. That's what happens. And I remember when I was your age, I'm going to do a lot of when I was your age shit. So you're going to fucking deal with it. I had already been making my money just from performing by that, you know, and we didn't have internet. We didn't have internet. We didn't have computers. We had nothing. And I often talk about being on the road without any of this shit and how fucking lonely it was. And I used to just, I remember those days where I would sit in the apartment all day long. I'd practice the piano or, you know, you have to, it's so, people don't understand, especially in this fucking pandemic, we already have to create our lives. And now we have to create our lives without any sort of aid. Usually you can go outside or you can go do a set or you can go to a theater show and get some inspiration or you can go to the library or you can go, you know, whatever. Yeah. We can't fucking do it because of that orange piece of shit. But so I went out yesterday for the first time in 2 days. It's like you could literally, because nothing's open in New York, you can literally sit in your apartment and never leave.
Yeah, that's how, where did you go when you went, when you left?
Okay, ready for this? This is a good one. So for Giving Tuesday, and this is something you should learn from me, give back. You have to give back. You have to do charity shows. Don't ever, you know, I'm just saying, it's good karma, but it's also, so I said, I called bingo for the Jewish Community Center. This is the Jew Bell. So they were doing a Giving Tuesday thing and I was calling bingo and I was, and I haven't been to the gym because I'm COVID afraid. So I'm over 50. Carol Zabar. Do you know Carol Zabar? Do you know Zabar's?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So they own Zabar. So she's like 20 years older than me, late 70s. And she's been, they have, if they clean the J, you like, you sign up for a slot to go to the workout.
Yeah.
And they only allow 11 people in. You have to sign up. They clean, they, every 2 hours, they come in and deep clean everything. And I was talking to the rabbi who runs the place. It's a woman and she's liberal. And it's not like what you think of a rabbi because you're not Jewish, but blah, blah, blah. But, and she was like, comment. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to the fucking J. So I went to the J, I signed up for a slot online. Then they take your temperature. Then I realized I left my favorite water bottle in the fucking lift that I took. And the fucking guy couldn't speak English, but he is a fucking ass. But anyway, not that I care if anyone speaks English. You know, you got to apologize for everything now.
Yeah, well.
But I called him. Yeah, I called him back and he came. And the guy in the car who we had picked up, worst driver ever. I can't even tell you. I wanted to throw up the entire time. He's like, he was on, I was on speaker. He's like, just go around the block and I will have him drop it off at the gym. And I was standing outside. So I got my water bottle back, but I told the guy to enjoy his ride. And I was discombobulated from being in my household for those days. Like, oh, wait, you know, how, like you haven't done something in so long and you're like, oh, something you did every fucking day.
Yeah.
You know? And then you got, you're like, oh, wait, what did I take to... what did I used to take to the gym and how did
I feel like that about even taking my medication in the morning. I'll be like, did I take it today or did I take it yesterday? I've had to start like turning it over because I'm like, what day is it?
You're too young for that. But can I ask you a question? What kind of pill box do you have?
No, I just keep up all the bottles.
Yeah. So that would be a generational thing because
well, I know, you know I keep the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I keep thinking about getting one, but I don't know. I lose shit all the time.
You have to. You have to get, there are so many good Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sundays. Then they have individual packet ones. But my grandmother, she used to take meds. And I remember in those days, this is in the 60s and the 70s. You know, my grandmother was born in 1896, but they had a pill, beautiful pill boxes that you would open up and your pills would be there for the night. I want to get one for Elisa. Don't tell her, for Hanukkah. Anyway, Hannah Banana, you are a comedian. You are a writer. You are a producer. You came upon performing. You came through the back door, even though you always wanted to be a performer, correct?
Yeah. I started interning when I was in college at USC. And I was like,
right,
working at development companies and trying to, I was like, I just didn't think it was possible to be a performer, you know, because I grew up in Virginia. Right. I was like, this is not going to happen. You can't, it doesn't work that way. Like, how do you become successful doing this? And I had had people go out from my high school to move out to LA to be actors. And within a year, they were back home.
Did you, so you grew up in Virginia, let's start at the very beginning. What part of Virginia?
Fairfax.
Virginia. Fairfax, Virginia. So you're close to the city.
Yeah.
You know, you're not like in shit land. And look, I grew up in New Jersey, 27 miles from New York, and it was like you're in another fucking world. Okay. You grew up in Virginia, but you would spend a lot of time in New Orleans. How come you spent a lot of time in New Orleans?
Oh, no, my parents, I grew up, before I moved to Virginia when I was in second grade, I lived in New Orleans.
Oh, your dad says my son goes to Tulane. He plays basketball for Tulane.
Oh, cool. My friend's in med school there too, right now.
Okay, well, my son.
I mean, no, it's just a cool, I love that school. Party.
It's so great, and I love Nola. Yeah, I know, but he can't because he's on the team. All right, so you grew up in Virginia. What did your parents do?
My dad worked for the Chamber. That's why. So he worked for the Chamber of Commerce, and then he got laid off during the recession. And then they started a disaster cleanup company. So they did like fire damage, water damage, crime scene cleanup.
That was smart.
Yeah. Well, my dad was out of work for 3 years, and he was like, I don't know. He was.
How old were you?
I was in 9th grade.
Ugh, that's so awful.
Yeah.
So, and your parents stayed married, right?
Yeah. And now
they're busy. Do you have any siblings?
I have an older brother.
What does he do?
He owns a franchise now, and he's opening a funeral home.
I like that. They're all like entrepreneurial.
Yeah.
I can't with the funeral home. So
neither
you grow
I.
up, normal house, normal up until 9th grade, everything's normal?
I would say it's normal. Yeah, I think so. The cul-de-sac.
Right.
One parent floors? Working. You know?
Right. It's so traditional stores? Lindsey Graham, who said that women should be in traditional families because he's a fucking queer and he can't fucking come out of class. All right. Anyway, so normal. And you go to school. Are you popular?
Of course not. No, I do comedy. Who's cool right, and goes good. Into comedy?
There, you know what? It's so interesting you say that because that is so true. But there have been comedians that I have interviewed that were like, yeah, I had a good time in school. I was like, what?
Are they funny though?
Yes. Well, okay. Good writers, you know, quirky, but not like, you know, there's people like me and I'm only saying it because I've been doing it for so long, where you know it's just and raw shit, you know, like, and then there's comedians of my generation who are great joke writers, you know, and they talk like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
These guys that are just like, and then they end up being, you know, showrunners and making billions of dollars. And I'm like, oh, so,
yeah.
So normal childhood. And then do you have sports, any sports? I couldn't find anything. I do a lot of research. I couldn't find any shit about you growing up anywhere.
I did just that on purpose.
Right.
I was on dance team. So I was like captain of my dance team. I did newspaper.
Those girls were popular.
No, they were not. I'm telling you, I wasn't asked to prom. I wasn't asked to homecoming.
I didn't go to either.
And the guy I really liked was like not attractive and he didn't want to date me because I wasn't popular. So he'd only like secretly like me. It really messed up it's crazy. I've been home at the beginning of the pandemic and I was telling my mom I'm so depressed. And I was like, I think it's because I'm back in high school mode where I'm like.
You go back there and you have sense memory.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, like it's so true. I mean, my parents are dead. You're welcome. but whenever I'm with my siblings or whatever. They're in their 60s and I'm in my 50s. You resort back to those you know, roles that you play. Like, my brother's going to, he's going to call the shots and boss me around. My sister's going to be like, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you. And, you know, it's just going to be the normal. And it's always like, I'm the youngest and you're the youngest, but you're youngest of two. It's always like every fucking thing I say, it's like, all right, yeah, okay. All right, yeah, whatever you say. Like, still.
No, that's, I got in a fight with my brother, not a fight, but we got in this, you know, a riff. Because my brother does the same thing. I was staying at his house and I cleaned the wine glasses. I cleaned the salad bowl. And I didn't notice, but someone had dropped off something in the front door, like packages. And so I'm leaving to get an Uber, and he had just come home with his girlfriend, who's my friend from college. And he turns to her and he goes, I told you she wouldn't pick up the pills from the front door. I told you she wouldn't.
Ew.
I was like, oh. I cleaned
don't
the house.
You want to punch him?
Oh, I was pissed. And I was like, stop saying this.
Hey, everyone. I love our sponsor, Fast Growing Trees. I don't know if you've noticed when we show the clips of the podcast that I have a new best friend in my office named Avi. And where did I get Avi? At Fast Growing Trees. Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the United States with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the United States of America. And I am a happy customer. I love walking in this room and seeing my fig tree, Avi. I talk to Avi. I love it. It makes me happy. And you need plant life in your house. And I have another plant on my piano in the other room. I'm just telling you, it makes your home so much more of a home. So thank you to Fast Growing Trees. They have everything you could possibly want. They have fruit trees. They have palm trees. They have evergreens. They have houseplants and so much more. And I'm in an apartment in New York. Okay, I don't even have a yard outside. And it's changed my life. Do it. Go to Fast Growing Trees. And whatever you're interested in, they have it. They have the perfect fit for your climate, for your space. You can call them and ask them how to take care of your plants. They have so much information. And it's so easy to order online. Your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. They have a 30-day alive and thrive guarantee. They have free plant consultation forever. Forever. And I have a new best friend, Avi. I love you, Avi. So do it. You don't need a yard. You don't need a lot of space. You just need to make your home a beautiful place. And that's where Fast Growing Trees comes in. This spring, Fast Growing Trees has the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout. JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout. fastgrowingtrees.com, code JUDYGOLD. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. Do it. You're welcome.
You have this normal childhood. Your father loses his job. Do you feel all the stress in the house? Like, oh my God, my father was in the cisgender world, a man, father, husband who loses his job, who's supporting a family. I mean, then it changes you. You see someone defeated, sort of.
Yeah, but my dad, like growing up, this is so, I don't think you can say this anymore, but growing up, my friends would always call my dad Metro. That's not an okay word anymore. And I know that, but I don't know the pro. He would do my hair. He painted my nails. He made dinner. Like my
oh, you can't say that word anymore?
I don't know. Someone said to Hannah, you can't say that word. And I was like, okay,
oh,
I don't know.
Oh my God, I can't anymore.
I don't know. Yeah, that's, I was like, I don't know the right word. He's effeminate, but not, you know, he likes to paint my nails and he liked making dinners. So my mom went back to work. She worked at monster.com selling ads.
Oh, good.
And okay. My dad would make me
so
these gourmet
off.
Lunches. Yeah. But it
love
didn't
bother. Do you think he's a little gay?
I don't think he's gay. I just think he's he likes fashion. I don't know.
But you know what? I love that. My father was not, he wasn't ever sitting in, like I never saw him in a without a shirt on or a tank, but and watching a football game. He was like gardening and I love those Renaissance men. Okay so you see that your father, I love that you have like these role models that are not, you know, abiding by specific gender roles.
Yeah.
You think that helped you?
I think so. It also, it towards the end, because he was out of work for 3 years, I think he started to get a little, me and him used to play Grand Theft Auto every day when I get home from school for like 2 hours till my mom got home. That's, so then he'd be like, don't tell your mom.
Right.
I think that's when my dad started to get back into weed. He would probably be mad if I'm saying this, but my dad's really into weed.
Oh my God. This is so not the way I'm Do you feel because your father was smoking weed around you, what is your relationship with weed? Do you have like just a...
I didn't smoke... Well, my mom treats weed like heroin, but so I didn't smoke weed till I went to USC in California. And my friend, sophomore year, my friends were like, you've never smoked weed. I didn't smoke. I was scared.
But you knew your father was smoking it?
At the time, I knew my dad was acting different, but I didn't know it was weed at the time. But now looking back, I'm like, it's weed. And now my dad's open about smoking weed. So I knew it was weed.
So your mother is anti-druggy. Like she thinks weed is like the worst. Yeah, I know. That's how we grew up. Like we would watch videos of like, if you smoke pot, you are going to be, you know, laying in a gutter in the Bowery. You know, that's how...
And so I was so scared of it. And now, even now, I took an edible when I was home and my mom like freaked out. And I was like, I'm 28. Like, you can't be. And it's edible given to me by my dad. So,
right. And also edibles are really good, mom. So did you get good grades? I mean, were you?
Yeah, I was like a straight A student. So I was, I graduated with like a 4.3. Yeah, I was a very good student, but that's all I cared about. I was like, I have to get straight A's.
Cause
I
did good.
Yeah.
Did any Jews in your school?
I went to a bar mitzvah and a bat mitzvah. Yeah. And that's when I thought all Jewish people were rich.
Oh, let's get into this, shall we? Kill Me Now and all Jews are rich. So not because they were wealthy, right?
Yeah. And the parties. And I went home the first time I went to one. I was like, can I have one of those? My mom was like, no. So this works, but it was so fun. It was like a prom in when you were like 10.
It's exactly, I know. And as I've said before on this program, my mother wouldn't let us have those because it was about the religious, that, you know, and I was like, really? I'm already unpopular. So you go to these bar, one bot, and do you come home and say to your parents, are all Jews, you say you want one, but did they dispel that myth that all Jews are rich?
I just was like, I think I just said I want to do them. And I was like, no. And I was like, oh, I think I just said her last name was Lerner. I was like, are the Lerners really rich? And my mom was like, I don't know them. I don't know if they're wealthy. And then I went to my friends who I grew up with and he had a pool and our parents were really good friends. And they were like, yeah, the Costas are very wealthy. And so I didn't really say, are all Jewish people rich? I just kind of had that assumption.
You deduced that. Okay.
And then I went to USC and all Jewish kids were rich there. So I was like, oh, every Jewish person is rich.
I want to convert. So when you were in high school and living in Virginia, you would make your mother drive you to New York City to go on auditions. Is that correct?
She loved it. My mom is a very big stage mom. But yeah, we would go on the weekends I would take days off of school and go audition for like NYU films.
And how old were you?
I started that in sixth grade and then Yeah. Until I was like, I think by junior year of high school, when I was taking all these AP classes, I was like, this is too much. And I haven't landed one audition in 6 years. I'm done with this shit.
Right.
And that's when I was like, I don't want to be an actor.
You're in your AP classes. So you did audition for Hannah Montana. Is that correct?
I did. I still have the script.
You do?
It's still the best audition I've ever had. I think sixth grade, seventh grade, maybe.
Did you go far?
No, I didn't make it that far. No, I think I made it a two rounds.
Did you, when Hannah Montana came on, were you like, fuck her, fuck Miley, fuck her?
Or well, it was friend. It was the friend that I auditioned for. And
okay.
And word got it. That was the one cool thing about me. Word got around in school that I had auditioned for. And everyone was like, did you audition for Hannah Montana? I was like, yeah, I did. And so that got me like 2 months of coolness.
Oh, that's great.
I know it's so dumb, but it was that moment where I was like, oh, it'd be really cool to be famous. And I think that's what I was like, oh, that'd be so fun to be famous. And now I think I'm like, that sounds like a nightmare, but
right.
now that I've had 4 YouTube comments, I'm like, I never want to be famous.
Yeah, they're just awful. People are awful. So you end up going to USC. Where else did you apply? Did you do well on your SATs?
Horrible. I'm a bad test taker.
Me too. I cannot fucking take. It's awful. I sit there for 45 minutes over one question because there's some truth in the, you know, each answer. It's like awful. But you had a 4-point whatever. So where did you apply to college?
USC, UVA, JMU, like a lot of Virginia schools. Okay. And then USC, because my friend had gone out and she knew I liked film stuff. And she was like, you should apply to film school. So I'd never been. I was like, okay, I'll just apply. And then I got waitlisted at UVA for a week. And then I had gotten in. It was crazy. Like, if I had gotten into UVA first, I would have gone there. But because they waitlisted me, I committed to USC and I went out there. And then
aren't you glad?
I'm so happy. I'm so happy.
Because you would have been like a sorority cunty, you know, at UVA, don't you think?
Yeah, but I also joined a sorority at USC. But I did drop out.
Okay, good. Which sorority were you in?
Alpha Phi.
Who was in that? Any Jews?
There were some Jewish girls. Yeah. It was kind of like we were known as the party sluts. So it was kind of my.
Oh, shocking. Okay. So you go to LA, you move, total change. And when you're 19, you reply to a casting call for Playboy. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. Yeah, correct.
So you go to some house. You think you're going to the Playboy Mansion, right?
Correct.
And you go to some house and there's like 40 girls and 10 Persian guys. And it's like a sex trafficking operation. Is that correct?
Yes, that is absolutely correct. I was involved in a sex trafficking operation.
Is that true?
I mean, I left. Me and my friend, literally, we jumped. So they called it the mansion and the guy had a Playboy signature. And I looked him up and it said he was a casting director on LinkedIn or whatever, but I don't know how he faked this.
So you thought you were auditioning for something or getting a job or a part.
We thought we were going to be waitresses at the mansion at a club a party at the mansion. But I didn't know that the club was in Beverly. I didn't know his house was in Beverly Hills.
Right.
I thought it was in the Valley. So this is before Uber and Lyft. I take a taxi there. We take a taxi there. And we get there and it's all these underage girls and they have one girl has like poop on her butt because she was wearing lingerie.
Oh God.
It was a lot. It was a lot. It was very scary. There's Smirnoff bottles. There's drugs in baggies. And I'm getting, my friend is freaking out. She's like, Hannah, where the fuck have you taken me? And I was like, I'm so sorry. So then they were going to bring us to a different house. We get in these limos and we go to
They picked a certain amount of girls to go to a different house or all the girls?
Oh, no, all the girls. But it was still weird. It was still, and they were trying to get us to do the drugs. And my friend and I were like, no, thank you. No, thank you. So we get to the other house.
Say no, thank you. No, hi, do this coke and take this roofie. No, thank you. No, thank you so much. But yeah, go ahead.
Because I was trying not to make them angry. You know, I was like, thank you so much. Maybe in a little, you know, just. I'm not ready yet.
And how the other girls were underage?
I don't know exactly how old they are. Cause there were also girls who I was like, are you like 45? Like it was like, cause I was 19 at the time. And I was like, some girls look 12 and some women looked like in their 40s. So it was very hard to tell.
Right.
I was and then they asked
was
to take
Ghislaine Maxwell there.
They were not as pretty as her. Yeah. The guys weren't as hot as Jeffrey Epstein, honestly.
Oh,
I know.
Okay.
I know, me too.
So you get in the limo and your friend is freaking out you're no thank you-ing the drugs.
Yeah. And this guy has his arm wrapped around me and he has like a gray silk shirt on and there are sweat marks right under his boobs or right under his armpits and he has his arm around me.
Oh, I can't. Okay, go ahead.
And I was like, I don't want to make him angry. Yeah, of course.
Okay, go ahead.
And we get out to the second house. And my friend was like, we have to make a run for it. Like, we have to get out of here. And I was like, you're right. But we're on the highway in Upper Hollywood. So I'm like, so we're running down this hallway in heels and like these negligee dresses. So we're just running. And then we hop into a bush. And when we're far enough away.
Unintended. Go ahead.
I didn't have a bush that night because I got waxed for this occasion. And
God, okay.
It was sad. And I call my friend and I'm like, please come pick us up. But for some reason, of course, it's fucking LA. On a Saturday night, there's traffic. So it takes her an hour and a half to get to us. And she picks us up and she's laughing so hard. She's like,
you're just standing on the street with your, in your negligee, whatever you're wearing. You're just standing there waiting for her to pick you up.
Yeah.
Where did you think they were taking you to when you got back in the car?
They said another mansion.
For what? For just...
I don't know. Okay. To do more drugs?
These fucking guys. Okay.
Yeah, it was scary. It was very scary.
Was that the first time you were like, oh my God. I don't know if you ever saw the movie Fame. Did you ever see the movie Fame?
I've fallen asleep to it, but yes. I've seen half of it.
You know.
I know.
That movie.
I know.
But it's like, you know, when Irene Cara goes on the audition and he tells her to disrobe. And, you know, just that, it's like it takes, do you think that took away your innocence or do you think you were just like,
just honestly, I think my freshman year of college at USC took away my innocence. And at that, I had also been an intern and I made out with a director my freshman year or no, sophomore.
What?
This was before that. Cause this was a summer after sophomore year, this Playboy thing happened. And sophomore year, I was an intern and I went to a Christmas.
Where'd you work?
I worked at Chelsea Lately.
Yes, I knew that. Okay. Is that's where you interned? Because you interned at other places too,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're at Chelsea Lately.
The Christmas party. We realized at the Christmas party that they didn't have security at this nice hotel because it was at some hotel in Santa Monica that was really nice. So I invited a couple more of my friends that would just come on by. It's open bar. We're getting trashed. We're 19. And I don't want to throw her under the bus because she had no idea this was going on. Chelsea didn't. But the director of her show, who now I don't think works in show business, was like, come back to my hotel room with the opener of the crowd warm-up guy. And all me and my other
friend. Who's the crowd warm-up guy?
I forget his name.
Okay, go ahead.
I don't think he does comedy anymore. And we go back to the room because he's like, oh, I have weed. And we're like, okay. So he's like, if you want to come with me to see Chelsea, you have to spend the night with me. And I was like, no. I was like, no, I'm not doing that. Like, I'm.
Oh my God, how old is this guy?
Probably like early 40s, late 30s.
Oh my God, what the fuck?
And so I'm like, no. And then he gets pissed off and he grabs me and he kisses me.
Like without you even.
And I was like, oh.
Hashtag me too.
I know my friends said it. They're like, what the fuck? The warm-up guy has passed out in the bed at this point. So this guy leaves pissed off.
So you're in the room. You go up to the room.
Oh yeah. We're in the bedroom at this point. And we have.
And so he says that you have to stay with me while you're in the room. Okay.
Yeah. And then he leaves to go to the other after party. That's in another room.
And leaves you in the room.
With my friend and the guy who's passed out. And my friend was like, fuck these guys. Like they just, that was so inappropriate. My friend who was with me. She's like, we're going to draw dicks all over this guy. So right. We take Sharpies and draw dicks all over the warm-up guy.
But he was nice, right? Or no?
He was like creepy too. They were both just so creepy. So it was
so
inappropriate.
Up to penises. Okay. So then that was a hashtag me too.
Yeah. But at the time, you know what's happening. You're like, is this inappropriate? I did go up to the hotel room. You know, it's like, I didn't know how to say no.
The other thing is, like, people don't realize in the hashtag Me Too thing, like, first of all, you're 19 and he knows that, or 18 or whatever, how old, you know, so he knows that. He knows what he's doing. So he's the director. He's more powerful than you. And also, like, the thing when the Me Too thing came out and they were talking about comedians going up to the room, it's like, that's where we live. That's our home. Like, whenever comedians are on the road, that's their home. I mean, this is a different circumstance, but. That's where we gather. That's, you know, so when people get mad at, oh, you shouldn't have gone up. It's like, you shouldn't have to think everyone's a fucking asshole. No, you know?
Yeah. And also he said, he framed it like an after party. So when it was just the four of us, we started to get uncomfortable. But again, it's my first internship. He's more, I don't want to be rude. And I was 19 but it's interesting because my first writing job in New York, the director of that started texting me. He got my number off the call sheet. I was like, can I take you to Hamilton? And I was like, that's inappropriate. And he kept trying to hang out with me, and I lied and said I had a show. And he shows up to the venue I had a show, and he texts me and he said, "There's no show here tonight. Why did you lie to me?" And I was like, "This guy is." And he said that he
not
wants
because
to.
Because you're.
And he said he wanted to put me in a movie. And Rick was like, "Have him call me."
Wait, what job was this at Comedy Central?
No, it was for Comedy Knockout that got canceled. I don't even remember what the guy's name was who did it.
Hey, everybody. If you know me, you know I love my liquid IV. And I love giving it to people and telling people about it. And it's part of my everyday life. I keep hydrated with liquid IV. I put it in my water bottle. Well, I have this one water bottle that I use only for liquid IV. And I put lots of ice in it and cold water because I like it very cold. And it keeps me hydrated and it's delicious. So thank you, Liquid IV. And I have to tell you, I've now given it to my son's girlfriend because, you know, they go out partying. You know what I'm talking about. And it has helped her immensely with her dehydration. That it's great for those nights where you know you're going to be having a few drinks. It's delicious. It comes in pear, white peach, grape, lemon lime. Also, there's a lemon ginger one that is great that has a little caffeine. I just love Liquid IV. And you need to keep hydrated. It's very important. It affects you on so many levels. So do yourself a favor. Keep hydrated in the best way possible. Some people hydrate to live. Some people live to hydrate. I think I live to hydrate. Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. It has 3 times the electrolytes of leading sports drinks, 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness. And this is true. They have a sugar-free stick. They have Liquid IV sugar-free that Elisa, my lova, loves. I don't use the sugar-free. Whatever. But it's also been great for my traveling because I get very dehydrated on my airplane flights. So please, you've heard me say this multiple times. Go get your Liquid IV. You have to keep hydrated. It's very important. So however you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD, at liquidiv.com. You're welcome.
Okay, let's go back to Chelsea.
Sorry.
Okay. I love this shit. Because I don't know what it's like to be a young girl and, you know. Okay. I never went on that show. I wanted to go on that show so bad. I thought, I'd be perfect. But someone told me she doesn't like me. I was like, why? Okay.
My old boss and I are still very close. And she was her wardrobe assistant. And I feel like at the time, Chelsea didn't like anyone.
Really? That's what we're going to get into right now, folks. We're going to gossip a little on Kill Me Now. Okay. So you were working in the wardrobe department, actually, right?
Yeah.
And you would steal all her clothes at the end of the... season?
I wouldn't see, that's the thing about Chelsea is like, I never really interacted with her, but every season, which LA doesn't even have season, she would just give away her clothes. And I was 19 and at the time, so I was like very small and was the same size as her. And she.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
But she gave me all her clothes. So I would either wear them or, and they were really nice designers, or sell them at Crossroads or Buffalo Exchange, but I wasn't getting paid for my internship. So I would make like thousands of dollars from her clothes and she just didn't care at all.
So you would just sell them. That's so smart. Okay. You say that Chelsea didn't like to talk to people. Is that?
Yeah. She just didn't really interact. Like every time
like
I interacted
with the staff.
Yeah. She had her, like, I think she talked to certain people, but like one time she came in the room and she's like, I need this. And I was like, okay. And you know, she just didn't like to, she wasn't a personal, she wasn't very friendly.
She's at the helm of the show, right? I always say that, you know, the fish smells from the head. So it's like, I've worked on shows and the star or stars of the show really are the ones who set the mood. Don't
yeah.
you think?
No, totally. And honestly, I learned that like doing my Snapchat show, even though it was of course smaller and the production team was smaller, I was like trying to make sure everyone had fun and like tried to, you know, you thank everyone and like talk to everyone because, you know, we filmed it in 2 weeks, 12-hour days. And if it's no one wants to be there, it like sucks, you know?
Right. And it's like you're all in this. So you learned a valuable lesson from working with her.
Yeah. And it's funny when I would go home, I'd be like, yeah, she's kind of rude. My dad would be like, this is something you need to learn from. Like, don't
right.
be rude to people because
right.
that no one wants to work for someone who's rude.
Well, unless they're making a lot of money. Like, I mean, so she's really successful and, you know, there's other people and I'm not just pointing her out, but that are, you know, successful and people want jobs and they need it. So it's like so much easier. I think it's easier to be nice. I mean, I'm always, it's like, it's more fun.
Yeah.
To be nice to people. And it's like, you realize when you work on a show, it's like being in like camp with someone or being in a bunker, whatever. You're so close. You're with each other all the time for long hours. And it's like, yeah, I know that stuff pisses me off. So did you feel uncomfortable around her?
I was just nervous, you know, and so a little, but looking back, I'm like, I don't feel bad for her, of course, but I'm like, how miserable are you that you walk into a room and you don't want to speak to someone? You're like, just do this
right.
for me. It's like, what's going on in your head? That can't be fun to be like, do this and not look them in the eye. You must have shit going on up there that you don't want anyone to know about.
Right. Well, it's good that you realize it's not about you. So, I mean, that took me, I don't know how many years in therapy, but it's also like, you know, she is under a lot of pressure. I mean, you can say there's guys that do this and everyone's like, oh, they're very, you know, just blah, blah, blah. But, you know, a woman does it. It's like she's a bitch. But whatever. I know that feeling of being on a set. And it's like you're just so tense all the fucking time.
Yeah, it's just and also, are we in comedy because it's fun? Like,
right.
If it's not fun, then what the fuck? You could just go be
Did
funny.
Did anyone have fun or was it?
I don't really, I mean, my boss was amazing and she was so
right.
fun and we
right.
didn't hang out with Chelsea. We didn't see her that much. So
right.
I loved working there because she was like,
right,
yeah,
right.
She made cocktails during the day. It was like really
oh,
fun.
Oh.
So, but that was a different, you know, we were in wardrobe and we weren't around her.
Right. If you ever, anyone who's listening, if you ever want to know the gossip on a show, you go to wardrobe or hair and makeup.
Yeah.
FYNI. Okay. So after you did that, you got another internship? Is that correct? Or
yeah, I worked at Broadway Video, which does like SNL. They did Portlandia.
Yeah.
And
how
did
you get these internships?
USC just had a really good job board.
You fucking made the right decision.
Yeah. No. Definitely. I worked at Funny or Die too, and.
Okay. So you get a new internship each year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was cool. It was very, cause I thought I wanted to work in development, but after I interned for them, I was like, no, I will never work in development.
So, all right, let's talk about development people. Cause I've pitched, you know, 8,000 shows in my lifetime. No one ever puts anything up. What do you think the key is? Like, first of all, have you been in development meetings?
I guess, yes. Taking notes.
And do they, okay. And when the person who's pitching leaves the room, what is the worst thing you heard a development person say?
I feel like they're just like, they don't, I feel like they wouldn't say anything around me. They were just kind of
wow.
like, okay. And then, or they'd be like, I mean, that was great, but we're never going to make that.
Right. But they the person leaves thinking, oh, they really like
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah.
Half the time, it's not even about the idea. It's about who the person is. So it's like,
right.
if they have a lot of heat or whatever, everyone wants the show, even if it's a dog shit idea.
Right.
So it's like, oh yeah, this is a great idea for a show, but it's going to cost too much money or like, they're not famous enough or like, how can we do this?
Were you ever, privy to someone coming in, having a great idea and them saying, we want that idea, but we want someone else and sort of doing a bait and switch?
Well, actually, I'm with the production team right now because we had a live show it's like a therapy thing with whatever. And we have a production company that's like, we're working with, but they're like, we don't want you to be the host. We want someone more famous. But as someone who's been in these development meetings and like, know that, I'm like, I'm not famous. So I would rather make money selling a show and have a famous person do
See,
it.
See, that's
so
smart.
I don't mind that.
But you thought up the show, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, just take the money and fucking, if I could go back and
Just always take the money.
Right. So you then, so you graduate, right?
Yeah.
Did you do well?
No, I failed ceramics.
Oh God. I don't know how you're going to make it. I don't know how you can sleep at night.
I didn't graduate originally. I had to petition to get my degree.
What? Because you failed ceramics?
So I didn't get the credits and they were like, you can't graduate. And I had like a 3-4 and the person, I don't even know, the head of whatever was laughing. And they're like, how'd you fail this? How is this the class you failed? I was like, I don't know. I didn't really go that much.
I suck. Okay. I suck. Yeah, have you seen Ghost?
Literally.
Okay. So then you decide you want to be a performer and you take groundlings class. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And improv.
Mm-hmm. I was Pauly Shore's assistant.
We're going to stop for a minute because we're going to be talking about Pauly Shore. Wait, you were Pauly Shore's assistant like in his life? How did you get that job? And RIP Mitzi Shore, I miss you. Mitzi was so good to me. So good to me. And Pauly was always so like mean to me. All right. So can you tell me how you got that job working for Pauly Shore?
Well, it was interesting. I actually saw it on a job board for USC and I went in to interview at the Comedy Store because that's where his office was. But right. It was unpaid. And I was like, I'm not doing this. I graduated. Like, I need a job. And then I was doing a show, a bringer show at the Comedy Store. And I didn't even meet with Pauly. I met with his assistant and I just said, no, thank you. And Pauly comes back and came backstage and everyone's like, he's probably going to try to have sex with you. And then he didn't at all. And I was a little offended because I was like, straight up, I was like, everyone,
what's wrong with me?
Yeah. But he said, he was like, you know, I think you're really, it was really nice. He's like, I think you're really, I can tell you're new, but I think you have a lot of potential and I think you should keep doing it. And I was like, that's so crazy. I actually just came to your office to interview. And he was like, oh, come tomorrow. You can start tomorrow. And I was like, I need money. So then he like fired his assistant and I became his assistant. And it was
for money.
Yeah, for money. And
wait, why did he did you know the assistant he fired?
His assistant was trying to leave.
Oh, okay. That's good. Okay.
And he didn't really want to do comedy. So it was just like, he was like, just come. I think I did a 2-week trial and I was better than his assistant because his assistant didn't care.
Right.
And he was like, wait, you can send emails. Like I was slightly competent. So he was like, all right, I'm going to like have you be my assistant.
So he paid you and had you known, you'd known Pauly Shore from growing up, right?
No, I didn't know I didn't watch his movies.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you watch a lot of comedy when you were growing up?
I watched a lot of Daniel Tosh was like the only thing I really watched. I know. It's right. Bad. I didn't want to do, I'm like Molly Shannon. I want to be an improv person.
Oh, I love her. Yeah, I love her. So you start working for Pauly Shore. What the fuck is that like?
It's weird. His girlfriend was my age, which was mm-hmm. weird, but I really liked it when she was there because she was so sweet. It was a little offensive because she wasn't threatened by me at all. You know, she was just like, she just was like, oh, like she wasn't, I was like, I'm going on the road with, because he would take me on the road and I would host.
Okay. So that's sort of how you got into the stand-up.
Well, I was doing stand-up, but that's when I realized like, oh, you have to go on the road. Oh, you have to be able to, you can't just make jokes about LA and like how, like, you just called yourself fat in Boise. He goes, look at the audience. Are you fat here? Right. You're not. He's like, yeah, you're fat in LA. But he was just like so honest and blunt.
Right.
And sometimes he was a little off. I'd be like, but I also knew that. I'd be like, all right, Pauly, this is okay. Right. All right. You don't spell tomorrow with an A, but okay. But he was like, as far as bosses go, like he did try to help me as much as he could. You
so
know?
He was like a mentor a little bit.
Yeah, but I don't like to say Pauly Shore is my mentor because everyone's like,
right. No, I know. But so you learned a lot from him.
Totally. And he does, he's seen so much. He grew up watching comedy. So like even though his stand-up isn't whatever, say what you will, he's right. seen enough comedy where he fucking knows what he's talking about.
Thank you so much for listening to part one of Kill Me Now with Hannah Dickinson. If you like the show, I don't even know why I say that every week. Since you like the show, because if you didn't, you would turn it off, make sure to subscribe and leave a review. It helps more people find this amazing podcast. 5 stars only. Okay, it's Hanukkah. Christmas is coming up next week. If you have not purchased my book, Yes, I Can Say That, When They Come for the Comedians, We Are All in Trouble, you're an idiot, because it's a great gift. It's a great gift. It's a stocking stuffer. The audiobook is amazing. And that was featured in the New York Times, New and Noteworthy. Yeah. Go anywhere you buy books, seriously, and just do it. Just do it. Just go. There's links on my homepage of judygold.com, wherever you buy books. Support your local bookstore. I'm telling you, please, I need the money. No, I don't get any money. But anyway, here's a review. I looked up a review on Amazon. Some of them are not that nice. Anyway, BB writes, "This was a fun and interesting read. It was refreshing to get Judy's perspective. And whether or not you agree with the points made in the book, you'll learn a lot. You'll laugh a lot. And hopefully, think a lot." That's all I want from you people. Learn, laugh, and think. So please go get my book. Anyway, that's it. It would mean a lot to me. And I wish you all happy holidays. Happy everything. 2021, baby. Coming soon at a theater near you. Also, make sure to follow me on Twitter and Instagram for everything I'm doing, because I guess I'm going to be doing some stuff in person. But there's a lot of virtual stuff I do as well. And I have some funny things to say on the Twitter and the Instagram. So check me out at Judy Gold, J-E-W-D-Y-G-O-L-D. That's at Judy Gold, like Jew Gold. And as we always say, so long.
Don't forget to tune in next week to Just Kill Me Now.
Just Kill Me.
Oh. Don't forget to turn for part two on Just Kill Me.
No, it's not. It's just
Kill Me.
Now. No,
Judy Gold's Just Kill Me.
Just Kill Me Now.
Just Kill Me Now.